It's time now for Setting the Record Straight on KOHI with Melinda Bernard. You can call the show now at 503-397-1600 or toll free at 877-397-1632. The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KOHI, staff, management, or sponsors. Now, here's Melinda.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Setting the Record Straight. If you are just joining Carol and I right now, we have a fabulous show. We've been doing a two-hour special with Odd Friday with Brady Preheim and Tammy Megra. We feel like this is such an important topic that we've needed 2 hours to go through all of this, and we are talking about Columbia River Fire and Rescue. There is a forensic audit report out, and we have been going over some of the audit, and now we are being joined by Rick Fletcher. Rick is a former employee, but he is also a newly elected board member of Columbia River Fire and Rescue. And I just want to thank you again, Rick, for taking the time out of a very busy schedule to join us this morning.
No problem. I'll do what I can.
So, Rick, the first question that we all have for you that we've been discussing sort of at length at break is, have you even been sworn in yet?
No, we have not.
And why is that?
We weren't able to have a special meeting early because Medina took vacation.
Why does that matter? He's just the chief.
We have to have a board meeting. We have to be called in as a meeting, have to be sworn in at a meeting.
Right, but so. Does the board have to have the chief present to have a quorum?
Well, it's kind of sticky. I'm not exactly sure of how this all works. But currently, we only have two board members that are sworn in, Gary Hudson and Kelly Niles. Mm-hmm. The three of us need sworn in. I have some personal questions because there's some paperwork that needed filed with the county that shows that the district accepted our win of the election, that they were certified, and they've accepted it, and they're supposed to turn in some papers to the county then, certifying that, and then eventually we should get some kind of certificate. I got one for the cemetery district already because the cemetery district did this procedure already, and I got a nice little certificate from this county saying that I am a board member for the cemetery district. So I haven't seen anything of that from Columbia River yet and have had no conversation with Chief Medina about that. So, like I say, we found out he was on vacation because we tried to schedule an earlier meeting. Found he's on vacation. I do see they just put out, I think last night, an agenda for the meeting next week. There is an agenda item on their website.
Yeah.
So we'll be sworn in then at the meeting.
And have you reviewed that agenda yet?
I looked at it real quick last night. I was on there looking for the budget hearing they did last week where they approved the resolution for this last year's budget. There was supposed to be a resolution on there that was supposed to be, they said several times, that was on the website. It's public knowledge, but I can't find it on the website.
I
went on there looking for that.
Well, as part of the agenda package, the budget is included in the agenda package.
Okay.
And because we've heard rumors that the district is basically has no money to meet payroll.
Well, Medina has stated in the meetings that he has had a $2 million line of credit set up to get him through to November, because we have to operate from July to November on saved money.
So he's anticipating that before November, because
you're out of money before November.
The report shows that right now there's $3 million, just over $3 million in cash, but he's telling you that he anticipates that by November there will be a $2 million shortfall. Is that what you're saying?
That's what he has told the board at the board meetings.
Okay.
So that he has got a $2 million line of credit to make it through to November. So, and that's one of the things that really bothers me while I ran for the board, because we used to borrow money called TANs. Columbia River had borrowed them for years. And that got us through that borrowed money from July to November. And it cost years ago we made money on TANs. We borrowed at such a low interest rate that we put in the bank, and while we were waiting to use it, it was drawing interest. Then after 08 or so, when the markets all changed, we started costing quite a bit to have it. And we had gotten off of TANs in 2019 when I retired from there, left there. We weren't using TANs anymore. We had enough saved to carry us that distance.
So it used to be a pretty standard procedure that every year you would have like a 4-month sort of shortfall month where you had to borrow against your
company. Yeah, they would have to borrow to make payroll and everything else. But we'd saved up enough. And if you look at his budget numbers, I did see these earlier, that in 2021, because his budget has to show 3 years of budget, last 2 years prior, it was like $5 million in their carryover. Then it went to like $3 million in carryover. And then it's like $1.5 million in carryover. Mm-hmm. I'm going roughly on those numbers because I don't have them in front of me.
I did see that.
But yeah, that's disturbing to me to see that numbers drop that fast, at what he's spending.
Didn't the balance say $500,000? There's something on there.
Reserves.
Reserve was $500,000. That's not very much money.
So, and I'm not an accountant. I don't know how to do this. I do know that Merritt Nelson did a wonderful job there, when I worked there. And, she knew what was going on.
Well, so who is, in charge of the finance? Who is the CFO now?
The finance officer is Jimmy Sanchez.
Okay. Okay. So it's interesting. I'm looking at the agenda for next week. It's pretty sparse. In fact, there's nothing on the agenda about swearing in the new board members, which I find extremely irregular. All it says.
No, it's there.
It's there. I saw it last night.
There is a line item. It's just one. That's the only line item. It says something about officers.
Yeah. Once we're sworn in as board members.
Oh, oath of office.
Yeah. Once we're sworn in, then we have to choose positions, who's president, who's secretary.
Sure.
We choose the positions, and then we continue on with the board business.
It also looks like you're going into executive session pretty fast.
Yeah. Yes, we did ask for that to be brought up to speed on what we don't know.
Okay.
There's obviously stuff going on that we are not privy to until we're on the board, basically. So... we've asked for legal to be there and bring us up to speed.
Mm-hmm. Rick, is it true? I've heard through the grapevine that some of the new board members wanted to sit in on the last meeting and they weren't allowed.
Yes, the last board meeting they had on the 30th.
Yeah.
We were actually told, well, I won't say we, Austin said he was told by Smythe and Medina that we could attend in person. I was unable to attend in person that day anyway, but I guess they showed up there and were told they could not attend in person.
Was it public or was it executive session?
No, it was a public meeting.
It was on video only. They didn't let anybody into the building.
Oh, they let the press in.
They let the press in, but...
That's
illegal.
Agreed. That is not okay.
So...
Especially for a board member elect.
Yeah.
Somebody should file a complaint on him with the Secretary of State.
So I guess my question is, what are they hiding? What are they trying to hide from Austin and you all?
Yeah, I believe Austin and Ryan both went down to attend it and were turned away. So I was all logged in online.
So Rick, I know there's a lot here, a lot going on at the district right now.
Mm-hmm.
What can you name maybe your top three concerns right now that you'd like to address?
There's so much. We got to get this under control. We got to slap this freight train. I mean, my personal is Medina. He brought some stuff up to be looked at. Yeah, we'll look at it and see if there's any merit, but there's missing records that, if you look at who had the most motive to make those records missing to create the most controversy, you can come up with your own mind who that is. So the report is not final. If you read the report, they can't make any yes or no that there was fraud because there's records missing. And that creates just the suspicion of wrongdoing and helps smear the district. And I just can't, it just bothers me that chiefs are willing to do that. Willing to try to smear the district when he doesn't really have the full proof to do anything, but he's got enough to create speculation. And then drag in the Oregonian Live to help them do it You know, the Oregonian Live was contacting me a month ago, back during the stalking issue that was going on, and asking about my credit card receipts and purchases and what I had bought. And this is, you guys, Tammy and Brady, you were at that Columbia City meeting. We can't talk about that stuff. It's in litigation. It's in investigation. You know, we can't talk about that, but they're bleeding stuff to the Oregonian to their side to try to smear the district. So.
Well, not just the district. You in particular have gotten lot of direct accusations. And I wanted to ask you, actually about a specific thing about you where in the report it said that you were misclassified as a fireman, but then in the reporting in the papers, it sort of indicated that you were overpaid PERS. But if you actually read the audit report specifically says
there was no
that
fire.
While you were misclassified, that it had no bearing on your actual employer contribution. So I'm confused about what exactly that means, and were you misclassified?
I don't believe I misclassified. I do respond on fires. I did respond on fires at Columbia River when I worked there. During the day, I was a mechanic, but when the stuff hit the fan and the chiefs and the crews were all gone, I was called to respond on fires. I did respond as a fireman.
Has it been a district policy that if you work for the district in another capacity but are trained as a fireman, that you are classified as far as PERS goes as a fireman, even if that is not your primary job? Is that district policy?
I don't know if it's district policy. I know that occurred. My predecessor, Randy, was in PERS, police and fire. I was, and then my worker that worked for me when I was there, Dwayne, was in PERS, police and fire. But we did respond when we were called out by the chief. There was a line in our job description that said anything the chief says, and we will respond on second alarm or larger fires.
Are you trained, Rick? Are you a trained firefighter?
I am a firefighter one, state of Oregon. I'm an apparatus operator, a pumper operator, instructor one. I have quite a few certifications with the DPSST.
That sounds legit to me. Especially
since
we
have a precedent too.
Pardon me?
And that was also precedent if people before him was classified that way.
Precedent.
Well,
right?
several of the mechanics were classified that way. But then, I would assume that all those mechanics were probably in the same class where they had some kind of certification as well. But then, can we talk about like Merritt Nelson, who was also classified but did not have that? Was that district policy? Hello?
Do we know Merritt didn't have a training?
I'm pretty sure. You're muted, Rick.
I'm sorry, I had an interruption here. What was that?
So the question is about Merritt Nelson. So it's my understanding that she has no training but was also classified as a fireman. Do you know how that happened, and is that district policy as well?
That I could not tell you, Brady. She was the office manager or finance director, and then she was HR person. She was the HR representative at the fire district down the road.
She doesn't have fire training as far as you know.
No, as far as I know, she did not. And I believe her and the chief are the ones that had the access to PERS to make those changes. So.
Okay.
So,
Carol, did you have any questions for Rick?
When you say the chief, you mean this current chief or the one, because she's been there for a while, right? Had been? Merritt?
Yeah, I've been through a few chiefs while I was there. I went through, I think, four chiefs. So when I left, Mike Grison was our chief. Shared with Siapoos. Mm-hmm. So, prior to that, it was Jay Tappan. I don't know where Merritt was put into the police and fire, and who was the chief at the time, that I couldn't tell you.
Okay, I just was wondering where this PERS stuff started to happen, and it's not with the current chief. It may have gotten worse with the current chief, but it's not. Yeah, okay, thank you.
I started back in 94, And my predecessor started back in like 85, and he was police and fire. And like I say, I ended up in it. And then Dwayne went to work for me in 05, and he left in 18. I left in 19. So I don't know about Merritt and the gals in the office, because there was other gals in the office prior to some of them there too. There was some years ago, and I don't know what theirs were. So
it could have been classified years before.
Yeah.
We don't know that it was classified, and we don't know that it wasn't an error. But can I just ask real quick? So to your knowledge, do you know if the current employees are having a hard time getting paid?
I don't think they're having a hard time getting paid. They're not getting paid what their contract they signed was. I know that. The from my discussions and at the board meeting presentations, public speaking, apparently the EMT basics, that are firefighter EMT basics, are getting paid the correct amount per the contract. In Appendix A addition, which is what the district is contesting, but they are paying the basics the right amount according to that contract. And I haven't seen it. I'm going by what they said at the public meeting. But I know the union paramedics, firefighter paramedics, are not getting paid what that contract says. And they're getting approximately 8% less right now. Why the district says they can't afford to pay that contract that they signed. And that they didn't see that Appendix A attachment that had the spreadsheets on it that actually had the numbers. So wait.
The district said they hadn't seen the appendix?
That's part of their argument on the contract, that wasn't there when they signed that. That it wasn't there, but it's spelled out in their contract. And I haven't read their contract.
But so somehow they missed the whole table that explains.
Yeah. If you're in a union and you're being asked about this and you're not in the negotiating team and they come to you and say, hey, here's our offer. What do you want to look at? You're going to want to look at a spreadsheet that shows the numbers. You're going to see what does this matter to me in my pocket? And that's what they're going to look at. And that's what they're going to say, that looks great. And we signed for it. And then the district's saying, well, we never saw that apparently. Where'd this spreadsheet come from? We're going by the verbiage and what's written in the spread, in the contract, not by the spreadsheet. And that's apparently where the discrepancy is the verbiage doesn't exactly match the spreadsheets. Like I said, I haven't seen the contract, so I can't 100% say to that what I've been told.
Won't there be now a pretty, won't this arbitration with the union be pretty simple to resolve now that there's a new board? Because it seems to me that if there's an appendix that lists everybody's salary, that's your salary.
Yeah, it should. And that's what we're going to get into the legal part, where we're going to have an executive session to find out what we don't know. But also, my biggest concern, Brady, is we have to operate within a budget. We've got a lot of stuff to take care of. I'm going to say housekeeping, but we also have to stay within a financial budget to do it. And I don't know that we can, I don't know the numbers of whether we can do that.
Rick, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
About the battalion chiefs. Why would they have more, new battalion chiefs? Is that just because after you're there so long, you automatically get promoted?
That was a change that was happening. We had captains. We had lieutenants and captains when I was there. And then you had a division chief. And Medina, under his rule there, they eliminated the captain title and went to a division chief title. Mm-hmm. And they promoted three of the captains up, which they actually were already doing it, but they... to this division chief level to oversee the shifts, each shift, because we have a span of control that we have to try to stay within, you know, so many people under each commander.
Okay.
So the division chief basically oversees the lieutenants, lieutenants oversee the firefighters. It's kind of a chain of rank like the military.
Okay.
Because we're kind of a paramilitary organization, but they went to the title division chief, and then they had battalion chief and division chief. So with the retirement or the leaving, and I won't say retirement, the leaving of Eric Holsey and Mendola, the two division chiefs that left to go to work for Lapine and Bainbridge Island, that left them an opening for a division chief of training and a division chief of EMS, charge of the EMS. So they promoted up, I understand at this time, two of the battalion chiefs up to the division chief level to fill those positions.
I see.
So now they only have one, apparently one battalion chief right now, is what I understand.
And did those position title changes result in more compensation?
That I do not know. I can't answer that for sure. I believe so, but I haven't seen the numbers to know. I mean, obviously they're given more responsibility and a more critical job, so it should have come with something. Whether it's temporary or permanent movement, I don't know. I don't know if it's a permanent move up to that position or it's just a temporary till they hire another division chief. That's what we're going to find out as board members.
Wow, that is a lot to unpack.
Yeah, it is.
The fire district is a special district, and it is part of the SDA, its Special District Association of Oregon.
Yes.
Which also insures the district.
Yes.
Do you feel like the district has been following the SDAO's guidelines in terms of finances, insurance payouts, all that? Or do you know yet?
I don't know on that. SDAO gives us guidance. It's what they're there for. They put on an annual conference for special districts to help train the board members and proper stuff we're supposed to do and our legal requirements and board members' responsibilities. They guide us as a guiding factor. And they do, they actually don't insure us. We're through it's a branch of SDAO, but it's a SDIS, Special Districts Insurance Service. And there's another, through Wilson Aragood, who's our insurance agent down there. He's actually our agent. But they do a lot of special districts, the cemetery districts, school districts, the fire districts, the vector control. I mean, they're all special districts under Oregon statutes. So
yeah, they all pay into a fund, supposedly make it cheaper legal defense.
Yeah. So a pool, basically. So we're going to work with what they guide us, obviously, with their legal advice and their guidance on what we do to start cleaning this up.
In your opinion, and I know this is a huge question, but how did we get to this point financially in the district?
How did we get to this point?
Was it overnight? Was it over a period of years?
No. Medina came in January of 2022, and we were off of TANs, and we were doing good. And it's just been a downhill slide since then. I mean, I haven't talked to Merritt Nelson since she resigned and left. I just know what I read in Jennifer's lawsuit papers and stuff that Medina wanted things and she said, no, we can't do that. And I know that that's how she was. She would tell you, yeah, there's money or there isn't. And apparently there was enough tension there that she left. I mean, why does a person leave a public employment job that we have good benefits and stuff to go somewhere else other than bad management?
Well, a long-time employee, right? She had been there for several years.
Yeah, Merritt had been there for, I don't know, I can't remember exactly when she started, but she'd been there 12, 15 years, somewhere in that area.
Yeah, she'd been there quite a while. Hey, Rip, can I ask you a question about the credit cards?
Yes.
You only got a minute. How does that work? It said that you charged, what was it, roughly $30,000 or something over a period of several years?
$38,000.
Can you kind of explain that out?
I didn't spend that much a month. I saw...
No, over a period of years.
Yeah, I saw over a period of years it was like $60,000. And
uh-huh.
I only used the credit card in the shop. In fact, most of the time it was in my desk drawer. And that was for purchasing parts for the shop at places that we may not have had an account.
Uh-huh.
I was in charge of the fleet, and not only our fleet, but numerous other fleets around. And if I had to purchase something online or from Amazon or from or even eBay, I guess, any supplier that I couldn't get local and I had to use, I used a credit card for that. Or if we took a rig into a shop for something to do some specialty work and we didn't have an account with them, it would get put on a card. So, and that was the only reason we used the card, but I had purchase orders for every one of my purchases. and I have invoices for what that job, that purchase order went to.
To
show all my expenses. That's what I showed their Oregonian when they called me about it. She sent me specifically a couple of them saying, you know, what'd you buy this for? What'd you buy over here? And I went right back to my records and I was able to pull up a purchase order for both of her questions and a work order and invoice for it to show this is what I bought and this is the vehicle it went to. And then she left me alone.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break. Rick, hang on for a second. We'll be right back with more on the Columbia River Fire and Rescue District. Stay with us.
Mr. Sandman, bring me a dream.
Hey, it's me, the Sandman, and you're invited to the annual Sand Island Sandcastle Competition in St. Helens starting Saturday, August 5th. See world-famous sand carvers up close creating their masterpieces. Scavenger hunts, music, food, and sand bucket fun for the whole family. Just $15 for a whole weekend of fun. Get your cap, coffee mug, or t-shirt while supplies last. Take it from me, the Sandman. You will love this event August 5th and 6th. Here is St. Helens. To book a campsite ticket or a day pass, go to discovercolumbiacounty.com. Some have said Sand Island has the best carving sand in the world, and I would agree, and I am the Sandman.
Need towing? Call Grumpy's Towing, 24-hour emergency service, providing jump starts, winching and recovery for autos, trucks, to boats. And Grumpy's Towing is equipped to service large trucks to semi-trucks. Grumpy's Towing is here to give you prompt service, and they work with most insurance companies. When you need help, remember Grumpy's Towing. That's the name for 24-hour service. Call 503-543-5533. Grumpy's Towing, 503-543-5533.
So you bought that RV or boat, but the wife says, hey, not in my driveway. And the neighbor already has a boat. What are you going to do? No worries, man, just call McNulty Waste Storage. McNulty Waste Storage now offers complete RV and boat storage in a year-round state-of-the-art facility. The best customer service, digital video surveillance 24 hours, climate control, and drive-up access. Open Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. Call McNulty Waste Storage in St. Helens at 503-397-1809. Now you can have your boat or RV and store it too at McNulty Waste Storage. Cool.
Why don't you just meet me in the middle? I'm losing my mind just a little.
It's Setting the Record Straight on KOHI with Melinda Bernard. Call the show now at 503-397-1600.
Why don't you just meet me in the middle?
And we're back. I'm losing soon to be sworn in next Tuesday. Thanks so much, Rick, for joining us. We know you're very busy. I think, tell me, was it you had the question?
About the union arbitration?
Yes.
Since that's expensive, do you think with the new board that you can sit down and work with the union to avoid any large attorney fees on this contract dispute?
Well, yeah, if we have the opportunity to, I would certainly like to try to do that. But again, we also got to work within a budget. I would love to honor the contract that was signed and in the intention it was signed, in my opinion. But we got to make sure that the funds are there to fund that also. And there might be other things that have to be cut to fund that. And we might have to move some money to do that. We might be able to do this remodel they want to do that Medina schedule over here so that we can honor that contract. And that's the things we got to see. That's the numbers we got to work on and see, because I don't know what that looks like yet.
The remodel of the firehouse over by the fairgrounds?
Well, any of his stuff. I don't know what he had projected in his budget, because I have not taken time to read through the budget that they approved.
Well, I was referring to the meeting at Columbia City that we attended, and he was saying how he was going to redo the firehouse at the fairgrounds and then up Canaan.
Yeah, I don't know if that's in this current budget, if he's got money set aside in there. That's what I need to find out. So, but like I say, if to pay them, we might have to rob Peter to pay Paul. You know, we might have to change expenditures. And that's why I'm really wanting to see this report that this Wolf Auditing did, this Wolf Consulting did, it's not on the website that they keep saying it is, of their amendments they had to make to this year's budget, because that's what they did, is they had to move money around because they overspent line item accounts in the budget. Anytime you overspend a line item account by a certain amount, you have to do an amendment to your budget to move the monies right. to do that. And that's not visible. I have not seen that report yet. It's not on their website, even though they said numerous times it was. It's not there. I'm curious to what they already had to move around just in this last year's budget that ended Friday. Right.
Whose website are you referring to?
Columbia River Fire and Rescues.
And who is? Do you know who the district's normal auditing firm is?
It used to be Polly Rogers. Same
That's
one.
That's right, Polly Rogers. Thank you, Rick.
Polly Rogers. And do you?
I
know
actually have the last four audits in my in my possession for the last 4 years.
And so, why do you think none of this was mentioned? None of this that was uncovered by MCO. Was mentioned in any of these audits?
I think that's Polly Rogers, frankly, because they're like Pollyannas.
Yeah, I had forgot because they did our thing and we moved on.
Yeah, I mean they're not. They're like, oh yeah, everything looks great here. I don't think they're certainly not forensic.
That's why I have the four audits here, because Medina made a comment in one of the last meetings that Columbia River's audits have been late for the last 10 years, and had every year the audit's been on time, and every year Polly Rogers comes in and gives you suggestions on, well, they give you good and bad grade, basically, but they tell you areas where you can improve your oversight of, say, checks or credit cards, that we want to see you do it this way because it provides more secure, you know, checking, and they give those reports. I don't have those reports, but they give those reports to the district every year. And they usually find something that they think you can do better, and they'd like to see you implement this. And I have trouble believing. Like I said, I have the last four audits here, but I'm not smart enough to understand them. I got to have somebody who understands and read them.
Yeah. Hey, Rick, do you know how much Medina spent on his custom truck?
No, I do not yet.
Can you find that out when you're a board member and put that out? Because I'm kind of interested, because I was contacted by several firemen, and they were sure not happy about it.
Well, that's hopefully, Tammy, yes, because public records requests prior to being on a board were very difficult to get. I'll tell you that. I have some that were never answered, never replied to. Now, as a board member, he is my employee. He works for the board. I will find that stuff out now.
Can you
tell me about that? Because quite a bit was made about the Amazon purchases.
Mm-hmm.
Why does the district not have a district Amazon account, a business account, and that people are using their own personal accounts? Isn't that just bad business practice?
We when I was there, we had a business account with Amazon. I didn't use my personal, but it wasn't set up as a charge account or a billed invoiced account. It was a credit card, just like doing it from home, I guess. So if I did something on the district's account, which I didn't buy very little, I don't like personally to buy Amazon. I like to support local. But there was times when you can't find local, and yet Amazon's got it, and you can get it in a day, you know?
Yeah, because the accusation was made that that purchases were made on personal accounts, and you're saying that's incorrect.
That I don't know. I can't speak for Jennifer. I can't
speak
for Monica. I thought we had, I believe we had an account when I was there. You know, it's been 4 years since I've been there.
You personally did not buy from Amazon with your personal account. You used the district account.
I believe so, and I would have to go back, Brady, and look, because I believe where I'm at now, we have an account for the district. We have an account here. I believe we had one there too, but I do believe I had to use my credit card on it.
Okay. Your personal credit card?
My district credit card.
Okay.
So, you know, we had the same thing where I'm working now. We had an account and everybody used their own district card, and then they went to an invoice system. So now we're invoiced for Amazon instead. We don't have to use our card and do all the purchases that way.
Interesting.
But we still use purchase orders here. I have to put a purchase order on it. I have to show that I ordered it. This is the purchase order, and this is what it goes to.
That makes sense.
Great. So are you looking forward to Tuesday? I'm sure you're looking forward to getting some actual clarification, some answers.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. I'm also nervous because it's going to be, considering the stuff they've tried to pull on me already through this whole election, I just don't know what to expect. So
you're now the majority. So, and I know you probably don't want to talk about this, but, what do you think, is you guys are going to do with Medina?
No, we got to, again, we got to do it legally and in budget. Great.
Well, I mean, as far as him being with the district. I mean, it's to me, he claims that he's the person that has exposed all this financial misdoing.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, he also has a vote of no confidence from the union, and it seems really hard to sort of continue in your position as fire chief when your job is to supervise these people that had a unanimous, I mean, it wasn't like it was close, you know, it wasn't like 35 people didn't like him and 40 people did like him or whatever. I mean, it was unanimously, it's pretty, I mean, hardly anything's unanimous in this world, but to have such an overwhelming lack of confidence is pretty concerning. How do you survive that?
I agree with you. I 100% agree with you because he's also, I want to say, damaged relations with the volunteers too. They haven't had their compensation taken care of in the last 2 years, and they don't get much. They don't get paid as volunteers. They get money towards a retirement fund, for having attendance enough hours a year. And the district hasn't even put into that for 2 years. Wow. So when he says he loves the volunteers, he's hiring, getting more volunteers, I think that's a line of bull. And I think the public voted us in to do something, and I hope we do it. I just want to be careful how I say things.
Right.
At this time. So we will look at all options, and we will do what we think is best for the fire district.
Where is the meetings going to be held? Are they going to be held at the 911 or down at the office?
Yeah, they're usually at 9-1. I'd have to look at that agenda and see if it still says 9-1 that they put out on their website.
It says McNulty on it.
That's 9-1-1.
That's CECOM's building. Yeah.
So can I ask you, Rick, of this, if there was truly wrongdoing, do you think that is a that the buck stops with the chief, or does it stop with the board? Who was responsible if there was truly mishandling of funds and all of that? Who's ultimately responsible?
Well, this is an area I got to look into a little bit more, but ultimately I believe the board is the one responsible for the budget to make sure the budget's approved and the budget's, spent wisely, and et cetera. So really, if it comes back to the person having the most the ultimate responsibility would be the board, I believe.
Okay.
So, for them to bring this out and make these accusations, they might be hanging themselves.
So are you hoping to make some changes here then, if there are indeed changes that are in need?
Well, yeah, I want to do what's best for the fire district. I still live in the district. I pay taxes there, and I want the ambulance service. I want to know that they're reliable and they're going to show up if I call them. So
right.
I'm going to try to do what's best for the district and clean this up and get us back on the right track, get us back to not having to borrow money and overspending our budget and stuff.
Rick, on the Sanchez that Medina brought in and like doubled his wages, mm-hmm. as the board, are you guys to save money? Are you thinking maybe or would possibly entertain the idea of reduce these wages back to what the prior financial person was getting?
Well, is it even possible? Because
is it a contract?
He shouldn't be contract. But this is a question I have. Prior, when I was there, wages were set max and minimum by the board. They weren't set arbitrarily by the chief.
Right.
The job descriptions were made. The board approved the job descriptions. And then the board also approved a maximum and a low end, both ends of the job scale for that position. And that's what we operated with. So for him to go just those wages on his own, I don't believe that was right either. So I don't know.
If the board approved that, or did he just sort of just do it and the board didn't protest?
I never heard approved at a board meeting. I heard him tell the board that he had somebody that he found that he's bringing in, and I think he told him the dollar, the wage, but I don't believe the board ever approved it. That's the things I got to go back and find out if that was done properly.
Uh-huh. Well, you got a lot of work cut out for you, Rick. I give you kudos.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? There's nothing to say we don't. And maybe I'm spilling some cards here, but some districts use a bookkeeping company to do that position. They don't have a person doing it that's employed. Maybe we look at that as an option.
Uh-huh.
To hire a firm.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Maybe somebody who specializes in special districts. Maybe that is the answer.
Yeah.
But also, once again, there is no conclusive evidence thus far until, unfortunately, I don't even know if we're ever going to get a real reckoning, because if the receipts are missing, it seems unfair to blame, say that somebody has, there's malfeasance, because there could be a very good explanation, just mm-hmm. like you were questioned and you happen to have the purchase orders. But if all the receipts are gone, mysteriously gone, which,
yeah,
of course, it told Tammy that there were receipts that went missing after the construction, and that could have just been an accident. Somebody could have thrown them out. Who knows? But at this point, I think maybe the district attorney might have some answers, or the district attorney's office, to whether there was malfeasance of funds or whatever. But I just think that I think every citizen, if you're interested, should get on Columbia River Fire and Rescue and read the report, because there seems to be a little bit of they did clear you, or they talk about your misclassification, but then say, well, there really wasn't anything there.
Yeah, there really was no cost to the district.
Right.
Right. So, actually, you weren't misclassified. Now that you tell us, you are licensed, mm-hmm. and you do work as, or you did work as a firefighter.
Yeah.
Well,
that information changes everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you find it at all concerning that both Merritt Nelson tried and Motherway did remove her money from PERS? The audit report said that this is suspicious behavior. Do you agree with that category?
I wouldn't say it's suspicious behavior, Brady, but I also have not talked to Merritt and Jennifer to know that that's true or not, because I don't believe a lot of what's coming out from them. Mm-hmm. But in PERS, I believe you have the ability to take your money out of PERS and go invest it as you see well. There's different, and I haven't gotten to that point. I actually haven't retired, done any of the retirement seminars yet.
But PERS is great. Like, don't you have to be an idiot to take your money out of PERS?
Well, PERS isn't perfect. I lost like 5% last year.
Oh, really?
You don't know. They could have had a family emergency, Brady. I don't think we can
answer
your question.
But you have a, just like any other private retirement. I know, like, my dad retired from Firebird. He took his money out and put it in his own investments.
They
have that opportunity. They have a thing called money match. They pay you for life. They split it out and pay you for monthly life, or they do these different things. And I'm not all up on that because I haven't attended any of those yet. But if she pulled it out, she had her own reasons for pulling it out to invest in her own way.
Right. Rick, we have a listener question.
Yeah.
The listener wants to know if the district borrows money from the county or a private bank when, but TANS, isn't that state funds?
Well, the TANS was a government pool thing called a tax anticipation note. And I honestly, I'm speaking a little out of place here, because I don't know if that was through a government thing, through Chase Bank, or how that came about, but it was kind of, I believe it was a government pool. Okay. They don't have the TANs right now. He said he's got a line of credit. So apparently at a local bank, he's got basically a line of credit like you can get on your house, I guess. I don't know the details on that line. So,
okay, thank you.
There's an interest rate to it.
Tammy, do you have something from a listener?
Not quite.
Okay.
Well, what my listener said is that neither Merritt or the other lady,
Motherway,
took their money out of PERS.
But that's false information.
But
yeah, I believe
that's false.
I believe that too, because I can't say where I got it from, but I don't believe that is true.
That's interesting.
They said that's what Sanchez is saying.
Mm-hmm. That's really interesting.
So that could be a lie too. So the audit is not correct then.
Maybe.
Really. The audit is based on information that they were given by Medina and Sanchez and Smythe, the district. So the district wants to make it go one way they want, they can feed that kind of information.
As a board member, a newly elected board member, would you be interested in having another firm come in and review this audit? Because if this information is only one-sided, and I'd like to, you know, did they confirm with PERS or confirm with these employees that they either attempted or did take their money out? Because if not, like you're saying, this is a one-sided, this is very unusual for forensic.
I'm gonna wait and see on that, because that also costs money to do that.
Right.
Correct.
Do we have the budget to just waste on this, going back and trying to dig up old bones to prove something, or do we go forward and work on the free future?
But it should be pretty easy to just contact the state PERS.
Oh yeah, some of it we can do easily, but actually to go and have a whole other investigation or another audit, I don't know that I want to do that.
Right.
Whether that's good money being thrown after bad money.
Okay. Right. But at least it would expose them as if they didn't take their money out, Sanchez is lying, that would expose him as a liar and maybe have better grounds to get rid of him.
Well, the board, you only technically hire and fire the chief, right? So the board has no ability to fire Sanchez even if you wanted to, and I'm not saying that you said that. No. But you do not supervise him, correct?
No, we supervise the fire chief.
Only.
Yeah.
And so if there is a problem with him, it would be the job of the new fire chief to discipline or remove him.
We do have some abilities with the job descriptions, though. Mm-hmm. We have some other things that we can do.
But if he's a liar, that's committing fraud against those people.
So,
if he's a liar, he lied to the audit. That's a lie. I mean, that's
if he provided false information to an audit, that's pretty bad.
Tammy, the person who just contacted you, is that either Merritt Nelson or Jennifer Motherway? Did either of them chime in and say yes or no, I did or did not take my money?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, I think there is still some work that needs to be done on this forensic audit, I think. So maybe we should just be patient and see what the district attorney's office uncovers.
Well, I think that's a question for the board. Will the board continue to allow this audit to go forward, or will you stop it?
We need to know what we don't know first.
Okay.
So
your plan would be to continue to finance the conclusion of the audit.
Yeah, I think if we feel there's a real need for it to continue throwing money at it, yes. Otherwise, I'd rather stop the bleeding and start the healing. So, but we need to know what we don't know. We need to get our executive session be updated by the lawyers and find out what's happening behind the scenes.
Yeah, it's going to take a lot of work to list out all the things, say, with Medina, what he did wrong. You'd have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to add, I liked what you said, Rick, about you want to focus on the future and making it work now. And I feel like a lot of this probably had been happening in the past, had been going on in whatever level. And not that we shouldn't look for it and shouldn't call out anybody who can be called out, but it feels to me like the best approach is the one you're talking about. It, like, let's make this better and let's not let this happen anymore. And we may have to let a few people go. But if somebody did something under a board 8 years ago, how do you go back and change that? You know, that to me is a mystifying part of this whole thing, because it sounds like it's been going on, maybe not at this level, but for a while.
Yeah.
But
if that audit is correct, my concern is that the firefighters, the current firefighters right now, have a contract that the district signed, the board approved, and they are not being paid what the contract is calling for. Yeah, that's unacceptable. Whether or not there was a misinformation, it's the district and their lawyer's job to read the contract and to respond. So if they made a mistake, well, 8% is 8%, and I feel like we have a duty to these people who are working for us, saving lives, and most of those are medical calls. So as far as a member of the public, I would like to see that honored and moved forward rather than spend more money on a lawsuit.
That's what I'm agreeing with you, Melinda. I think it's if somebody got to take PERS when they shouldn't have 8 years ago under a different board and a different chief, that's bad. But it's not going to affect right now. And that's what we have to work on now, is maybe changing the whole direction of the whole operation.
Rick, are you going to let us come into the meetings? Are you going to make me and Brady and Melinda and Carol sit outside?
No, you're public. You're welcome.
Thanks.
Unfortunately, this financial scandal is not the only scandal this district has had. I mean, you know, we won't even get into the topic of, you know, Youngbird and all the abuse that he did to your firemen. And it really does seem that I'm personally very happy that we have a new board.
Me too.
Because there's been literally decades of scandals with this district, and it needs to end.
Well, I hope we can.
I think you got a good group of guys in there now, and I think it'll be productive.
Well, so the next meeting, we have 3 minutes. Oh, actually, I only have 2 minutes left. I just want to thank you, Rick, for joining us. I know this is a lot. There's a lot you can't talk about. There are ongoing lawsuits. As we've discussed, there is a law enforcement investigation. It's endless. I think it's fair to say that the district right now is kind of a hot mess. So we're really happy that there's a new board that's going to be sworn in, hopefully, next Tuesday. And hopefully you all can turn the tide and we can get a little bit more transparency, shine a light onto the district and see what's happening, and maybe move forward and start paying those folks who are risking their lives every day for us. And I don't know, Brady and Tammy, Carol, do you have any parting comments for Rick?
Is there going to be cake?
Cake.
I go Safeway before the meeting, get you cake.
No, I thank you, Rick. I appreciate your being forthright about it, and I know it's a hard situation.
Yeah, it's going to be some work.
We'll have you back on after you get sworn in, after you start getting things cleaned up.
All right. All right. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thanks so much. Thanks, Rick.
Okay. Well, that is about going to do it for this special joint show of Odd Friday and Setting the Record Straight. Thanks again for sitting with us for 2 hours. We know it's a lot of information to take in, but we really felt like there's so much here that we needed an extra hour to parse through it. And we'll be back at our regular scheduled times next week, right? 9 a.m. for Odd Friday and 10 a.m. for Setting the Record Straight. And in the meantime, I think I know where I'm going to be next Tuesday. What about you all?
I'm going to be there too.
All right. Okay. Well, that is it for us. We're out of time. Make it a great week. We'll see you back next Friday.
All right. Bye-bye.
Why don't you just meet me in the middle? I'm losing my mind just a little.
You've been listening to Setting the Record Straight with Melinda Bernard on KOHI. Listen again next Friday here on AM 1600. You can email the show, kohi.radio@gmail.com, or email Melinda, strsradio@gmail.com.